episode 163. I am Chris. Tony's not ready to start.
I'm not ready. I have my beer, though.
That's good. That's all you really need. Jeff is not with us, so Don has come up from contacting all the PR people for us.
He stopped emailing.
Right?
It's been a long couple weeks, man.
And it's not going to get any better.
Don, no, you have to give me six more games. Do it now.
No. No, you're going to regret that later.
I actually had to turn.
Regretting it already.
Don came to me asking if I wanted to review something, and I had to turn him down. It was like,
yeah.
I can't.
It's actually kind of strange. I'm not used to hearing that from you. I was like, oh, wow.
I'm burnt out, man. I kind of want to enjoy some of the games that I have.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I really want to play that, but not going to do it right now. I don't want to play as a mother badger protecting her children. That's badly.
Oh, my God.
Tycoon. I was like, man, I really want to review that, but I have four other things, so I had to pass that up.
So, let's start off with Game Dev Tycoon.
So you made me play it instead.
Yeah.
You're saying.
I seem to remember you kind of going, ooh, me.
Yeah.
I sounded really excited. I remember the controversy about the game, because it's been out for a little while. There was an issue when it was first released where people were pirating the game, and the game includes some DRM where if you pirate it, since you play as like a game development company, the games you create in the game get pirated to the point where your company goes out of business. So it's
just kind of a smart little little backhanded slap at pirate.
As they were getting like complaints on their forums by lots and lots and lots of people. The pirating in this game is saying, by the way, if you didn't pirate it, there is no pirating in the game. It's not like an issue. So,
yeah, that was a specific version that they purposely leaked on the torrent site. So
that's crazy.
All right, so Game Dev Tycoon. You start off, you are a like solo guy developing for like PC, and this they've kind of like slyly named all the consoles through the game, but you're developing, it's what's supposed to be the Commodore 64, and you're developing by yourself in like a garage and making games, and slowly but surely you like your developer like levels up as you game along, and he gets better, and the games he makes get better so that his company can grow and he can bring on more people to develop with them. And you basically play, starting as one person, like growing out to a firm of up to six people, developing games throughout the entire history of game development. So I believe I played all the way to the end, and it goes for like 35 years. And I think over that time I ended up making like 46, 47 games.
Nice.
So it goes for a long time, and you like get to experience like the ebb and flow of the consoles, and like this one is really popular, and then the popularity drops and they stop making games for it. And each console has its own like specific market type and like the games that work best on that console. So you kind of have to adjust what you do over time to fit with what's available. I tried to fashion my little game development company around like the Bethesda model, trying to make RPGs that were like, so I was alternating between three different kinds of RPGs. So I had like a superhero RPG franchise and a like a dungeon crawler type, like Skyrim, like an Elder Scrolls type deal, and then like a near future one, kind of like Fallout. Which I called Fallen. This is a Fallen series, so there's like Fallen 1, Fallen New Vegas, and then, but I kept having to like adjust, like the maturity level, so there's a point at which mature games are really popular, and it like falls off as you get to the end, and casual games sell a whole lot better. So actually my best selling game was at the very end when I was playing, and I released, Miley Cyrus.
So what kind of game was Miley Cyrus? You never told me that.
obviously Miley Cyrus is a dungeon crawler.
Oh, that's great.
Right.
You twerk through the dungeon.
Yes, you twerk your way through it. And Miley Cyrus sold like 18 million copies too, so she did quite well for herself. But the game itself, I mean, it's kind of cool to play through all of the history of gaming and see like the ebb and flow. But it's kind of addicting to you spend all this time like building your game up. And then you see the review scores come out and you get all excited and you're like, okay. And it kind of scrolls through, like the number scrolls, so it'll show the name of the publication and the number will start scrolling and you get all excited and you'll start waiting and you'll see the number like tick up to a 10 and go down to a 9. And you're like, okay, where's it going to finish? And occasionally you'll end up with like a 4 and you'll get all pissed off. It's funny because the game recommends you do certain things. And one of the things it recommends is to use a publisher. You can either like find a publisher for your games or you can self-publish. Mm-hmm. The problem was that so it recommends you use a publisher so that you get more notable, since the publisher can release your game on a wider scale.
Right.
More people know who you are. And a big portion of that game, selling games-wise, is the number of fans that your company has to, like, spread the word for you and actually go out and buy your product. The problem was that every time I used the publisher, my game would always end up reviewing it like a 3 or a 4, whereas if I independently published my game, it would always end up like an 8, 9, or a 10. So every time I released using a publisher game, my company lost fans. Even though the game's tutorial system keeps prompting me to use a publisher to release my games, which was kind of annoying. It kept prompting me to do things that didn't actually make sense or that I was already doing. Like, the tutorial just drove me nuts. There's also not a whole lot going on the screen, which makes it kind of weird when you start getting toward the end of the game and there's a whole lot of, like, frame rate hiccups. I have no idea why this game would have frame rate issues, but it does.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I mean, it's just gets really repetitive. Every time it's the same process. You build your game engine, then you decide what game you're going to work on and what the subject matter will be, and you go through, and as the game goes to like the three phases of development, you like assign what you're going to put in priority as opposed to like level design or the game world or like the gameplay, and you like have to balance all that stuff out with the limited amount of time you have to develop the game. But it all gets like really repetitive, and of course once you've done it 46 times at the very end, it's really repetitive. But I mean, it does have those addictive qualities of trying to make that better game, and it also gets harder as it goes along, as the development process becomes more involved, and you have to spend a lot more time like training the people who work on your staff so that they can put out more design or technical expertise and drive the level of your game up. So I mean, there are those aspects. I like it. I don't love it. I guess would be the way to put it.
I guess I'm kind of curious, and I know you haven't played the Game Dev Story, which is the Kairosoft mobile game that kind of sparked this.
Right.
I guess I'm kind of curious to see how it stacks up, because it sounds like the Game Dev Tycoon is more in depth.
I mean, it probably is, being a PC game as opposed to...
And there's 20 years in Game Dev Story. It sounds like there's more there. So.
Yeah, this actually goes... One console generation beyond this one. So you go from the Play System 4 to the Play System 5. I just love the names they have for everything. So of course, since they were doing it with all like all the Mbox and the Game Sphere, and I just love the names that they made up for all the consoles. Like, all that stuff is a lot of fun. But having played through it now once, all that novelty's going to have worn off. So I wonder if I go back and try to play it again, whether that'll have the same effect. It did inspire me to name a lot of my stuff, though. Like, the game development engine I kept upgrading was my not real engine.
Your not real engine.
My not real engine.
That's good.
I wonder if most of the charm of Game Dev Story is, because I could just play it anywhere. I could play it for half an hour somewhere, turn it off, go about my business, come back and play it. I wonder if I could actually sit down and, play through it multiple times on PC like I have on the phone.
Oh, here's the other weird thing about it. You only get one save game for everything.
Really?
On a PC, that's so weird to me.
Huh.
Like, I played, like, halfway through the game, and I'm like, okay, I want to go back to the beginning and see a little bit. I couldn't. The only thing I could do was continue with the studio I already had or start over and lose the one I had already built. That seems so weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even on the mobile, there's like three different saves.
Right.
Huh. Hardcore mode, man.
Right. Like, it's hardcore nothing. So. I mean, I'm going to probably have to erase Miley Cyrus and start over for a little bit.
Oh, man. What a shame.
It's too bad. I wish we could all erase Miley Cyrus from our minds right now.
I agree.
That tongue is forever etched in my dreams, though.
So that is, should be out now you're listening to this. So.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully my review will be out now, too.
Cool. Don.
Yeah?
You played XCOM, The Bureau.
The Bureau.
XCOM Declassified.
Yes.
How far are you? Did you play any more since last week, or?
A little bit, and then I put it back in the envelope and sent it back to Gameflow.
It's always a good sign.
Nice. I think I'm about 4 or 5 hours in.
Okay.
I don't know. I like it. I like the idea of it. It has a lot of the XCOM Enemy Unknown features to it, like the shields and moving your guys around and stuff, which, like, in theory works, like, sounds like it'd be great, and sometimes it works great, but if you're on, like steps, like, if I was up in a balcony one time, not a balcony,
catwalk or something?
Yeah, like a raised surface, and then there were some steps that come down at the sides and go around, and moving around that area was just a total pain in the ass.
I came into that situation like early in the first mission.
Yeah.
You're up on the roof of a building, and you're kind of, I guess you're trying to prime you're trying to defend this tower so that you're waiting for a helicopter to show up.
Right.
And I'm trying to position my guys, and I'm trying to position them up against this kind of like, halfway height cover, but up against like the edge of the building so that they can shoot down at the aliens that are coming in. And every time I would do it, I kept slipping off and it would drop down to the next level.
Oh.
You can't just push back and jump up. You actually have to pathway it back up like you were actually walking. It doesn't just jump up to the next level. You have to go around the building to up the stairs and then back to where it's really annoying.
It is really annoying. It's probably my biggest complaint with the game. The rest of them are just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, like when I was playing it this weekend, I was having a lot of fun with it. It wasn't great or anything, but it was fun. But I just can't seem to get into it after work. And the story is, I don't want to spoil it, but it's a straight up ripoff of a popular sci-fi novel. So I thought that was kind of like,
I just couldn't get into the main character, Carter.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's kind of a dick. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, he's had some bad shit happen to him. But
Charlie Sheen. He reminds me of Charlie Sheen. Like, he looks like him, he sounds like him, he has the mannerisms. I mean, he's like Charlie Sheen in a video game.
Right, like a really angry Charlie Sheen, though. Yeah. Like,
yeah, so like Charlie Sheen off his meds, like you
were. Yeah, exactly.
But, I don't know, I mean, and then the rest of the characters, you know, like, you can rename them, but it doesn't do a lot of good if you can see what they look like. So, you know, in Enemy Unknown, I would rename people, you know, after friends and stuff, and they were in these big heavy suits, and, like, you could barely make out what they looked like and whatnot. So it made it more believable, you know, that they were in the game. Whereas this, like, there's just nothing.
Yeah, I didn't have the emotional attachment to the to my team. Like, oh, that person died. That's a shame.
Yeah. And, you know, other than that, I mean, it's okay. I wouldn't pick up for $60 probably.
Yeah, but, I think I heard somebody refer to it as aggressively mediocre.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
There's nothing particularly wrong with it. It's just not anything special. And, like, in a time frame right now where we're kind of being overloaded with games, or we're going to be overloaded with games really shortly, it seems like this might be one to better pass on.
Yeah, I think I think 2K Marin has only had it for a short amount of time, like less than a year, I think, but. I don't know for sure, but I think if they had like another year, and I know this has been in development for like fucking decades, but I think if 2K Marin themselves, like what they had going with it was a good idea, and I think if they'd had another year to finish polishing up what they did with it, then I think it would have been a much better game.
Wasn't this game on the front cover of Game Informer like 2009?
It's been, like, this was actually, like, I think this was announced before Enemy Unknown.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't this iteration of it, but yeah, the shooter XCOM was introduced before Enemy Unknown was even known about.
Right.
Because it was a big uproar. It was like, the hell are they doing to XCOM? Like, XCOM's a strategy game. They're just making it into a mindless shooter. This isn't a mindless shooter either. Like, it takes some tactical strategy. It's kind of like friend Brian on Twitter, and who we knew previously, he described it as Mass Effect in the 60s. I just think it plays so much slower, and the characters just don't have the Mass Effect, like, draw. Like, they're just not as charismatic.
I think that with the... see, I never really did a lot of the moving, you know, like giving orders to my teammates and stuff in Mass Effect whenever I played through Mass Effect 2. Well, I didn't do a whole lot of
you
that.
You didn't have to. The teammate AI wasn't
right.
Stupid. But the shooting was actually pretty good, and once you got to Mass Effect 2 at least.
Yeah.
The general shooting was solid.
Right, but I think in this game, they want you to, like, take control of your squad mates. Like, yeah, they can shoot and, you know, they can pop up from cover and kill a few enemies, that's fine. But, like, to really go all in, like, they want you to actually control your teammates, you know?
Right. And I think some of that, for me, is what pulled me away from it, though, is because I wanted to, like, you've given me a gun, you've put me in an action situation, and I want to be able to control that guy and, you know, take out the enemies. I don't really want to have to, like, follow around my team. And it's it actually kind of wants you to forget about the shooting and just kind of be a commander.
Right.
And watch the battles unfold and maybe, like, take a pot shot off here and there, finishing guys off. But it's just that, I guess, at the time it just was not what I was looking for.
Yeah. It's not, I was expecting more, I guess, but, I mean, it's okay, I guess. It's not bad. It's just not great.
You should have gone with Splinter Cell.
Probably.
But, well, there's that.
I'm just sad I'm never going to get to play Splinter Cell.
I wanted to. Game Boy lost my copy, and now, the mail lost Game Boy's copy. That's all right, though.
It's like I see time floating by, like Madden's on its way. Rome Total War comes out, GTA. Like, any game that I haven't played now that I wanted to play is, like, dead now.
Yep.
Goodbye.
No, the Bureau for you, Tony.
Too bad. I was really counting on it, too.
Well, that's a shame. Maybe Don will spring it on us at the end of the year and be like, this is one of my nominations for Game of the Year. You all have to play it.
Oh, man, that's great. I should do that.
I might just pass on that. Like Jeff did on XCOM last year. Lucky Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm listening to this, I'm still bitter. Plays it this year. He's like, oh, Tony, it's really good. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It would have been great if you told me that last year. But
yeah, he had no desire to play it last year. let's see. I played a little bit of Guncraft before I talk more about Disney. That game's weird.
Looks like Minecraft with guns.
It is.
Probably not even good Minecraft.
I found it really hard to, like, get into the building of anything. What's cool about Minecraft is it tosses you into the world and tells you, like, go, you know, you have to kind of do everything to build it, and when you go to build stuff in Guncraft, it's kind of just a level editor. So you're just building your... Yeah. I mean, and there are people that have built some amazing shit in that game. I just have no desire to sit down and build stuff with it, because it's just kind of dull. And great on those people that have done it. Some of the levels, though... really massive, and I've only seen a max of 16 players per server, and some of these are like battlefield size maps, like they need like 64 people on them. It's just, this is a little bit ridiculous, and I just don't find the actual gunplay to be all that engaging. It's an interesting concept to play with, but none of it comes together all that well.
Have fun writing that review.
Yeah, it's
those are like the worst guns to write, man.
There's some really cool stuff in the game. Like, some of the levels are really, really awesome. There's this one that you start off inside this undersea dome, and there's a series of them. And there's an elevator that goes up to the surface where there's a series of boats and platforms. This level is freaking ridiculously massive, but it's just not fun to play because you have 16 people and it's like, oh, well, I'm going to walk for a while before I find somebody, if you find somebody, because maybe the action's happening up on top. There's a couple cool modes. One that I really got into was called Meteor and Survival, where it was a timed level, and the meteors were, like, you start off, it's deathmatch, so it's everybody versus everybody. And as the game goes on, meteors are dropping from the sky, destroying aspects of the world. You don't want to be anywhere near there, too, because if you get hit by a meteor, you're out.
Oh, great.
So you're trying to kill as many people as you can before you're knocked out.
Nice.
And then the actual survival mode is there's a lava base that is gradually rising. So you're trying to kill as many people as you can and get to higher ground so you could stay alive and build up your points before... you eventually die from the lava. It's pretty cool because in this mode, in both Meteor and Survival, you don't like kill them and they respawn. When you kill them, they turn into a snowman and can't move. So they're frozen in place. So if you hit it right, you can freeze them. Toss a grenade at their feet or a rocket, which blows up because everything's completely destructible. So it'll blow up, and if the lava is high enough, they'll drop right into it and be out. just kind of funny to like do this, and at times you'll see like, it, depending upon which map, like 8 or 9 people playing on it, and it, you'll just see like 7 of them frozen. There'll be like 7 snowmen. So it's, that I got into because it was the gameplay was quick, the matches were over quickly, but general team deathmatch just. Even getting to the low number, I think it was like 25 or 50, just took forever. And then the other problem with it is there's not a ton of people playing it.
Yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah.
I played it like once, and that was about it.
Yeah, like I was trying to stick to the official servers. I mean, there were a few private servers that people had running. But the one private server I joined on had a 2,500, point limit. And when I got in there, they were on like 37. I'm like, I'll never see the end of this game. They're probably still playing it, trying to get to 2,500 people. And I don't think I ever saw any more than like 35 people.
Man.
In general. So that makes it a little hard to recommend. Like, even for the novelty purpose, because you're going to get in there, you're going to see some levels, but there's no one playing it. So, as a multiplayer-only shooter, it needs a user base. And, I mean, the game would have been much more benefited if you could even just put bots in some way. Like, if you could play against bots, like it might have been even a little bit more fun that way.
Well, this was like a Kickstarter or a Steamlight or something. Like they were making a big deal about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, after I played it, I was like, hmm.
It's a cool concept. Like
it is a cool concept,
we're gonna take Minecraft and we're gonna take Call of Duty and we're gonna mix them together, and it's gonna be done in the Minecraft visual style, and everything is
which I hate.
Completely destructible. I mean, it's the Minecraft style is definitely
disgusting.
Well, I don't despise
I'll
it.
I'll go there.
I enjoy the retro look of it.
I don't know.
And
I love retro things, but that's just something that I never could get past was the look of that game. Whew.
But I can kind of understand why it needs to look that way, because to be able to completely rip apart everything and not have your computer blow up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It needs to have, like, low-res polygon models and...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if they could make a game where it looked something like, I don't know, any generic shooter, like, let's say Medal of Honor, if you could have something that looked on that level but be completely destructible... Where you could rip apart everything, like not just like in Battlefield, like you can rip apart some of the frames of buildings, and what was it, Bad Company 2, you could actually collapse some buildings, but it was all at it was all at key structural points, so it wasn't like you couldn't just like I'm gonna hit this spot and it's gonna completely blow up, and it was kind of like there was a pattern to how the buildings went down. In this, it's like. The buildings don't go down because there's no actual physics to it, but you can completely rip out sections of it, which is really kind of cool. But that's it. It's a cool idea. It does not have the backing for it. So Disney Infinity. I played more of that.
Nice.
Great.
I'm jealous.
Did you buy more figurines? How many figurines have you bought?
A lot.
You're not going to tell us, are you?
No, never.
No. So
the number must be more than 10, then.
I don't know if there... I probably have about that. I'm not sure if there is that many more, though.
You have all of them, don't you?
No, no.
You're missing one or two, but you know which ones if you're looking for them.
Well, it's not even a matter of looking for them. What I found really weird about this is... I went into Toys R Us the day after it launched, and everything was there. Like, I mean, there was more of some. Like, it definitely looked like Toys R Us got a ton of this stuff in, and they were doing buy one, get one half price, so That saved some money right there. It wasn't like... when Skylanders came out, it seemed like the collectors really jumped on it and hoarded certain characters. And some of that was Activision just didn't know what they had on their hands. It looks like Disney knew what they had on their hands and just dumped boatloads of this stuff. But it doesn't look like any of the characters are going to be hard to find, so...
That's good.
Yeah.
So you're not feeling rushed?
No. And, I mean, it makes it where it's like, you know, every couple weeks maybe, like, you know, you go out, it's like, oh, well, all right, you weren't a complete asshole this week. We'll get you a syndrome or whatever.
This is what you sell yourself, right?
That, for me, like, I wasn't a complete asshole this week. But it's like the character is very easy to get. They all have specific challenges to them. So even if you don't have the playset for them to play on, you could buy some of the Cars characters without – you need the Cars playset to do that story mission stuff. But you can buy there's the Italian race car from Cars 2, and there's Mater. You can get them, and you can play with them in the toy box mode without owning the car set. And they have specific challenges just for them. Like they're specific; they call them adventures or whatever. But they're really just like challenge levels, where it's like race, get in first place in this race, or collect X amount of things. I don't particularly like doing the ones for the cars because I think the driving is kind of crap. But the gameplay itself, overall, I played all three sets. I think last week I said I'd only played the pirate set. I played the Incredibles set quite a bit. I watched my son and my daughters play the Incredibles set too. They seem to kind of understand how to play that. The Pirates set is definitely the one kind of targeted at the adults. The gameplay is a little more complex. You control the pirate ship. You'll actually drive it from island to island and do naval battles with other ships. It's very simple. You'll just get Jack, you'll go to a cannon, and your first mate will steer the ship as the other ships go by, and you can take shots at them with your different cannons that you buy in the toy store. So you can have a regular cannon or a flamethrower cannon or a voodoo cannon, which shoots out ghosts. it's all kind of funny. And every time a new thing becomes available, you get this weird commercial for it. It keeps saying go to the toy store. But that just means the in-game thing. But I could see parents going
"Oh God,
why are they? What
is, why are they sending me to the toy store?"
Right. It's the first time I heard, I was like, "This is kind of sick." But it's not what they mean. They just that's where you go to buy the in-game unlockables. It's called the toy store, and you earn that all. You can earn currency for that all by playing the game, opening chests, breaking up barrels in Diablo. It's all easily attainable. But I could see a parent walking by and going, "Oh God, what have I gotten into?" The one that I'm least interested in playing is the Monsters University one. It definitely seems like it's aimed at really young kids, which isn't surprising. It's a game with a giant furry monster. And that's kind of what my wife said. I was like, this game's, I'm not having any fun with this. My wife just looked at me and was like,
"Really?
What'd you expect? It's targeted at 3-year-olds." I guess she got a point.
Get your son to play it.
Yeah, he's really just into the Incredibles stuff. I think he played a little bit of the pirate stuff.
Superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, of course he picks the one
you like, right?
Well, I like the Incredibles one, but I'm playing the Pirates one. But he is more into the Incredibles one, and that's the one that has the most figures. Currently, there are you can get Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, Violet, which is the older daughter, Dash, which is the older son, and Syndrome, which is the enemy from The Incredibles. So there's five figures for that, where I think the next most is like Cars, which has four, Pirates has three, and there's one other one that has three. So the Monsters University. I'm still a little disappointed in the fact there's no like classic Disney characters though. Do you see some of them though? I was wandering around the toy box area, and it was kind of funny because I ran into a animal, like the Muppets. I ran into a little weird figurine of him walking around, and I ran into a Miss Piggy figurine walking around. They kind of look like these little Lego things, but it's like, at first I was like, what the hell is that? Like, who? And I was like, oh shit, that's Animal. And I was like, oh, Miss Piggy, this game's great. Like, I would rather be playing as those characters, but I'll take what I can get. But I think it's pretty good. The gameplay, actually, I said last week I thought it was simpler than Skylanders. I think it varies on which playset you're playing on. It's actually, there's a little bit more, it's more complex than Skylanders, which is really just a straight Diablo type run. You can't jump in Skylanders. Some of the attacks seem like there's a little bit more going on in Skylanders, but in this, you do have a ranged attack and a melee attack. You can jump. The combat's a little more engaging. It's not just like kind of blow up everything on the screen. Some of the enemies require you to figure out their tells, like they'll block if you're coming right at them, so you kind of want to move around them, dodge out of the way, and get to their side. So it's actually pretty well put together, and you know, you start your younger kids off on the Monsters University, and eventually they'll graduate to Incredibles and the pirate stuff, so there's a nice progression there, especially, like, I have multiple age of kids in the house, so this actually plays for everybody. So they're going to make a boat ton of money on that.
Yeah.
It's deviously brilliant, so.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So.
Okay. Is anybody else play anything?
I've been playing Payday 2 still.
You enjoying that?
Oh, I really enjoy it. Much more than the first one. Like, this one actually feels like a full-fledged game. The last one was like a $15, $20. I guess that's not too much cheaper because this one is 30 or 40. But, you know, it felt like a downloadable game. It was lacking in a lot of areas. I think they used it as a really good template going forward into what they did with this one, because they redesigned the way you go into missions and stuff. You know, they just pop up on this little map, so they just kind of randomly generate. So you can sit there and just let them pop up until you see one that you really want to do, and it kind of varies. So you got, like, say your heist, but your typical bank heist. You can also, like, wait until one more difficult pops up. So bank heist with just real general easy one would be, you know, about $200,000-$300,000. One star, which, like, adds in some special enemies, you can drop you up to, you know, probably close to $1 million, and it just keeps going up until you get to your three or four stars, whatever. But the AI really is bad. Not just the enemy AI, which is fine, but the...
I heard the teammate AI, if you do not have a full team,
yeah,
and you have to populate, that is really, really awful.
It is really, really bad. I played through most of it by myself for a long time because the PS3 version was broken for like the first week, so you couldn't play online games unless you were like friends with those people. And none of my friends had the game, so... I played a lot of it single player, and you know, you can do a lot of the basic stuff just fine. You know, you level up, you get some nice perks that help out, but yeah, like there's just times where you would be down and your partner would be standing right next to you and not helping you. They'd just be standing. They wouldn't even be shooting anybody. And I'm like, really? I fucking threw the controller down and walked away. So because, you know, if you lose, obviously you don't get anything. You don't get any kind of reward. You get like a little bit of experience, but not enough to do anything with. If you play with people that suck, then it can also be just as frustrating. I was almost yelling into my mic one time, because some guy wasn't, you know, we had everything at the truck as we were about to leave, and I was the last one alive other than this other guy. The other two people were down and just gone. And I'm at the truck, so the guy had to either get to me or die, and either way, we would have come out with money. So I'm just like, dude, come on, just run across the fucking street and get over here. If you die, you die. Fantastic. It doesn't matter at this point.
Right.
So we have everything we need in the truck. And he's just standing over there just trying to kill people, and I'm just like, you're wasting time. Like, the cops were closing in on me because I'm hiding behind the truck. And
you couldn't leave?
No, well, I could have. No, yeah, you can't leave until, like, everybody alive has to be at the end zone.
And you could kill him and take the truck?
Right. Well, wasn't,
I wish I could have. If what, I could have, I would have.
Wasn't one of the, like, or maybe this was a different game, but wasn't there a mechanic that you could betray your team?
No, I don't think that's this.
Oh, I think that's was it Splinter Cell? No. What's the other series that's like that? Rainbow Six, the new one?
I don't know.
No. It was Army of Two. It was some random game like that.
It's like, I just remember like where it was like at the end, like you made a decision like where you could betray your team and take all the cash or whatever, and like to me that would be the perfect thing to do.
Oh, I would have. I would have. He was really pissing me off.
And let me guess, you died.
No, I didn't. Thankfully, he made it across the street, and I don't know how, but he made it across the street. Because there were, like, cops littered all over the place. So he had to, like, book it. And he made it over, but then he was, like, right outside of the zone. So he's just standing there by the dumpster. And I'm like, dude, come on, a little further. Just a little further. Come on. Come on. Really, like, you're not in the zone. The cops are coming towards us, you fucking dumbass. And he's just standing there. Finally, he scoots over and... Oh my god, that was a very nerve-wracking experience.
Sounds like it.
It's actually been a lot of fun. Like, I think that it's not coming out at a good time. Like, I think this should have come out like 2-3 months ago, back like whenever everyone had like a nice gap of time where nothing was coming out. But like Grand Theft Auto is about to come out.
Right. I would never get this because of Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly, and that's a problem. Because, like, it is a good game, and it's just really bad timing.
But then again, you look at the issues they're having with the PS3 version.
Yeah,
you wonder, like,
thank God.
Maybe this was as early as they could have gotten it out. And they're like, if we release this after GTA 5 comes out, we're dead. It needs to get out now.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, I guess that it was a better than nothing, because a lot of people have been talking highly of it, too. I've seen quite a few people playing it. It's not hard to get into a game. Like, the first Payday, like, it was just a pain in the ass for me to get into a game with other people. But I haven't had any problems with this one. So, after they fixed it, of course.
Right.
But, my review should be up Friday. So, I've got it mostly written. I just need to tidy it up a little.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a cool game, but as you said, it's just bad timing.
Yeah, if this came out in, like, June... I would have been telling everybody, guys, you need to go get this, like, now so that we can all play, because it'd be great. Then again, you guys would play on 360, but whatever.
Maybe they'll make it free with PlayStation Plus. Then we could maybe make 5 minutes to play it once.
Yeah, after you spend 3 hours downloading it and
an
hour patching it. Yeah, I understand. It's all good.
So I played some more Plants vs. Zombie 2.
Just to make me jealous.
Yeah, I still really like that game. But I did kind of want to point out, like, people were telling me that, oh no, like, I mean, you don't know what you're talking about, you do have to buy stuff, and that the game does lock things out. That's not true at all. You can, so when you finish the first section, last week when I was talking about it, I hadn't actually finished the first area, which is Egypt. The second area is this pirate section. I hadn't gotten to the pirate section yet. I hadn't actually finished Egypt. When I finished Egypt, it opens up a portal. When you click on the portal, it says you need 15 stars to advance. Except I had 17. And I got them by playing the game up till that point.
Oh.
And it unlocks that level. If you are not doing the side stuff in Plants vs. Zombies, which gets you additional plants, so why wouldn't you do the side stuff? If you're not doing the side stuff, you won't have enough stars, and you'll have to go back and replay levels and grind to get stars, or if you're really lazy, you pay $5 and unlock the next area. But you do not have to buy anything.
Oh, man, that's great. you had me worried there for a minute.
No, and you don't have to buy anything at all. You can buy stuff. You can buy keys to unlock those special areas, but they are random drops. They seem to happen on a frequent enough basis that I never felt like I was overly grinding at all. And, I mean, you do want to go back and play other levels, because you want to get additional coins so that you can activate the special powers.
I don't actually know anybody that's only played Plants vs. Zombies once all the way through anyway, so it's kind of like...
The first game?
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking to two of them.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying I don't know anybody that's only played through it once.
Right, that's, right. No, you go back and play other levels.
So this sounds like the same thing. Like, you know, you just... kind of can't go forward until you play some other levels, which doesn't seem like it's a big deal because, you know, 6 months from now you're going to play them all again anyway. I don't...
Right.
Or and less. I don't know.
I mean, and they do this thing where I think the Yeti was in the first one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Yeti will randomly appear and you'll get a notification or whatever saying, hey, like, go get his lunchbox. And he carries this lunchbox around, and if you kill him before, because he comes onto the map, and after you attack him, he starts to leave. So if you kill him before he leaves, he drops a lunchbox, which has a rare item in it. And by rare, I mean it's either a sapphire, which is worth 1,000 coins, a key, or sometimes there's a plant in it, but very, very rarely. But you want the keys, so you want to kill the Yeti and get the keys. Or the coins, whatever. But I've never, in playing it for 2 weeks now, had any issue where I'm like, oh no, I need to buy all this crap. I mean, you could totally go into the store and buy a $99 package of coins, which gives you like 500,000 coins or something like that, if you are that person. But you don't need to be that person to play this game. You don't need to buy anything. You get everything just by playing it. It's a very well put together game. There are plants that are locked behind a paywall, but they are all plants from the original game that you don't need in this game. They're just like, if you're really a fan of the snow pea shooter, you can buy that snow pea shooter. Or the jalapeno, which lights up a row of zombies. But they have alternatives that you get in this game, so you don't need any of that stuff. It's like the snow pea shooter has been replaced by it's an actual drop. It's a iceberg lettuce. So you place the iceberg lettuce down, kind of like the potato bomb. So you place the iceberg lettuce down, and when a zombie steps on it, he freezes. So if you have a regular pea shooter, he's taking out that guy because he's been frozen. There's a cabbage shooter, which actually can shoot over, like, gravestones. There's a whole bunch of new stuff that you don't need the old ones unless you really want to. And if you do, you're just giving PopCap some money, and they probably deserve it, because this game is really good.
Okay, is there a way to, like, unlock everything?
Look, what do you mean?
Like, pay $10, like, you have access to everything?
No, there's not, no.
Okay.
Which, I mean, some people probably would gladly do, but no, you can't get, like, actually, the plants are overpriced, in my opinion. I think they're, like, $3 a piece. If you want to buy, like, the plants from, Plants for Zombie 1. But everything else is just, it's, you know, coins. Or, okay. You know, there are bonus things, like, you can get extra slot for your plants. But you get that naturally, too, like, just by playing the side missions. You'll come across an unlock that gives you an extra slot for plants. So I think you start out with 5. I now have 6. I'm about to get a 7th. And if I really wanted to spend $4, I could get an 8th. But I haven't come across a need to have that 8th. So it's just like if you really don't want to make a choice on which plants to bring in, which is part of the strategy of that game.
Right.
You can pay some extra money.
I always feel like no matter what I chose, when the numbers started to get big and the number of plants I could choose, mm-hmm. I would end up with like one or two that I never used.
Right, because you just never, like, you're spending the sun as quickly as it comes in that you never get to that point where you're like, all right, I have enough to spend $500 on a watermelon cannon, like, which is one of the new weapons in this. Which is really cool, because if you add if you add the plant food, which I explained last week, if you add the plant food onto that one, it basically becomes a giant nuclear missile. And it shoots out this giant watermelon and just splatters everything on the...
Oh, they had those in the last one with the corn.
Mm-hmm.
You could, like, combine the corn together to make, like, corn missiles.
That's pretty cool.
That was a big strategy for the endless level.
Right.
Was that you would upgrade to the corn missiles and just, like, have, like, 8 of them and just, like, destroy the zombies in an endless rain of missiles.
Nice.
Because when you start getting to the number of 8, it's like, all right, I can't click fast enough to fire this many missiles, so I have infinite missiles. Enjoy.
And tons of people are playing this game because... For the first section, you unlock this this kind of wave-based temple. I'm not sure if it's endless or not, but it's just this area where you pick your plants you have, and zombies just keep coming at you, and that gives you a leaderboard score. And I think there's like over 1.5 million people already on that leaderboard, and you have to have beaten the first level to unlock that. So 1.5 million people have already beaten the first level. How many other people have just downloaded it? Like,
right.
A ton of people are playing this game.
I want it so bad.
And it's coming out at some point to other platforms. So
yeah, I'm ready for it to come to Android.
I'm just wondering what happens first. Does it come out on PC or do I get an iPad? Those two things I feel like are going to happen really close to each other. Like, the day I get an iPad, it'll come out the next day.
Probably.
I don't know if they'll do the free-to-play model on PC or, you know, the new systems. I believe it's coming to, like, Xbox One and PS4 as well. Or probably
right.
Everything. I have a feeling they'll charge for it, though. Like, either 10 or 15 bucks. Because I'm not sure if the free-to-play model will work there. People that play iOS games or Android-based games are kind of used to that model.
Right.
And people that play console-based games, not so much. So, but I think $10 or $15 is well worth, you know, it for that game anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I'd buy it twice.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the last one cost. I know I played through the end of the tutorial. It's like, or would you like to buy it? I didn't even look at the price. I said yes.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I bought it on, I think I talked about it here, last year, actually, whenever I bought it on Vita, because, I owned it on my iPod Touch, and then I turned around and bought it on PC, and then I bought it on PS3, and then I bought it on Vita, and then my wife bought it on Vita. So I paid there for that game like 5 times.
I never got it on PS3 or 360, but
it was good on 360.
I do own it on the Vita.
Yeah, it is a great Vita game too.
And I played it on PC. That's actually where I beat it the first time. So
it's great on every system, really.
Yeah, it's very intuitive for touch-based controls, but I played with a mouse, but that worked really well, and I'm assuming that the controller worked also. Like, it's just really easy because it's grid-based.
Yeah.
It's really easy to place what you need to place and remove what you need to remove. All right. Before we move on the news, I just want to say fuck you to people that spoil shit.
Oh.
So I've been looking forward to play Gone Home, but I just haven't had time.
Ah, yes.
And it's actually, it was spoiled by a coworker who accidentally just laid out the entire basis of the game. And then it was spoiled on another podcast. Like,
yeah, I heard that too.
Don't talk about games that are just out. Like, yeah. I know we sometimes spoil shit on the show,
yes.
Especially at the end of the year, but we kind of make a point of pointing that out as well. Like, hey, we're going to talk about some shit. You might not want to listen if you haven't beaten any of these games or you care about any of these games. Like, Gone Home has been out for 2 weeks.
Right.
It is a two-hour game. I haven't gotten to it yet. A lot of people haven't gotten to it yet.
I haven't touched it. I would like to play it.
Right. Don't spoil the shit out of it, because I hear about how great an experience it is, how emotional an experience it is, and how everybody needs to play it, and then totally fuck it up by giving away what it's all about. And since that game is all about exploration, now I'm like, I don't even know if I want to play it.
Yep. Which sucks, because it sounded really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably still going to give it a shot, but it's not going to have that... I'm not going to get that sense of discovery, because I already kind of know what the end game is and what the purpose of it all was. So, just don't spoil shit. let's do some news.
All right, speaking of spoilers, last week there was a little bit of, I guess, blowback against Xbox, because you can, or could at that point, pre-order Grand Theft Auto V on PS3, but couldn't do so on the Xbox 360. But it seems that someone has hacked their pre-order of the PS3 version. This is pre-ordering it through the console, by the way, for download, not for, okay, like, a physical version. But they were able to hack their pre-ordered version of the PS3 copy of the game, and release a bunch of assets online that spoiled a bunch of content from the game. And Sony was forced to remove the game from pre-order and has publicly apologized to Rockstar for what happened.
Wow.
Nice. I don't know how I missed that.
Well, I knew that some assets had been leaked. I didn't realize that it was due to
that. It was
through
the pre-order, yes.
Wow.
Nice. Also, any statement by Sony saying that they've solved their hacking issues, they haven't.
It's Sony's had a couple blunders this week. PR-wise, like, I guess that, and somebody on their Twitter feed also kind of...
Oh, it's coming out for PS4, GTA,
yeah,
5.
Yeah, can't wait to play GTA 5 on PS4. And then it took them 2 hours before they made a statement and went, that was just a typo, sorry. Like, alright, you have everybody going, what? Like, was this accidentally confirmed? And it took you 2 hours to go, oops, typo? Like,
right, like, the person typing it must have been like, oh, I should fix that. Like,
right.
I don't understand why this was a big deal. Like, oh, I'm sorry, that was a typo. But no, since he didn't fix it immediately, it became a huge story.
And I mean, NVIDIA last week, I guess, had accidentally stated that, you know, GTA 5 would best be played on PC.
Which doesn't have a release date yet, does it?
Or it hasn't even been announced as coming to it at all. So, people are messing up with this game all over the place.
Great.
And I personally think that it's coming to both Xbox One and PS4.
Right.
They're just not going to tell us that until...
Right. until it's actually we right. have to buy it for
like,
the system.
It'll, those systems will be out, and what is it? The video game awards, what is it? The VGAs.
Right.
They're in December, right?
They are.
I bet that's where they go, hey! It's coming out.
Enjoy March. February or whatever.
Yeah. February or March, it's coming. And then I'm going to want to punch them in the face. But
no, you're not, because you want to play GTA in September.
I do.
Like, that's fine. Even if it was coming in November, I don't care. If it's out in September, I want it in September.
Yes.
Give me my GTA. Give me it now.
What else we got?
We have lots of Nintendo news, because Nintendo had a very, very interesting, I guess, was this today?
Yes, it was today.
Which is Wednesday, and if you're listening to the podcast, it's not today.
Yeah, not today. But
we're not that far behind on our news, but a couple big announcements. I guess the one least worth laughing about is the Wii U Deluxe price has been officially cut to $300.
That's good.
I guess.
Sure.
And actually they're releasing a version also bundled with the Wind Waker HD remake, which will only be $300.
That's not bad at all.
In fact, that's a pretty good deal. If you have waited on getting a Wii U, that might be a good time to take a jump.
Yeah, I mean, Wind Waker is what, $50 retail, so.
Right.
I mean, you're talking, you get the Wii U system for $250, you know, end the game, so. Which brings us to $300, but.
And that should be around October 4th or so.
Yes.
You know, a month before, you have to have all that money saved up for your, you know, real console.
And then just what 8 days later, you can get Nintendo's new system.
Yes, the 2DS, retailing for about $130. It is a hingeless system that will play all games from the DS and 3DS families, all in 2D, mind you. It will not play anything in 3D.
Which is fine. I mean, I have a 3DS. I very rarely turn the 3D on.
Yeah.
My problem with this, it's fucking ugly.
It is kind
it is
of
pretty ugly.
I'm not actually a fan.
That said, Chris, looking mm-hmm. at your family, you're like, the 3DS is too expensive. I wouldn't buy one for you. Is $130 moving it towards that price range?
No.
No?
Well... No.
Or you would buy one for your kids if they wanted one?
I mean, they have DSs.
And no, if they didn't have one.
If they didn't have one.
Right.
Already. I don't know. Like, they have kind of moved on. They would prefer to play my wife's iPad in the car.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
hypothetically, if
well,
they
no,
wanted
no,
the 3DS.
This is a big problem for Nintendo.
No, but I mean.
The competition from, like, iOS and
yes.
Android is so huge now.
Yeah.
Is this even on kids' radar screens?
Like,
do they want a Nintendo?
I don't know.
Game?
I mean, they're releasing it at the perfect time because they're releasing it right alongside Pokemon,
yeah,
which comes out that day as well. But I don't know. Like, my kids aren't like, hey, I want to play the DS. Like, so I don't know if I'd rush out and get a 130. I mean, I'd have to buy three of them too. So.
Right.
At that point,
that's
like,
better than paying, what, 180?
I guess, but I don't know. Like, the screens aren't protected. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, I like that hingeless thing, but I don't. Like, I like because that's, you know, the hinge broke on my original DS. My son broke that. So, it kind of makes me happy that's fixed. But at the same time, I see your point of it not being protected.
Yeah, like, I mean, it doesn't fit in a pocket. Like, it's kind of big.
I don't understand why they eliminated the hinge. I mean, maybe it's cheaper to make them like that.
It's durable for kids too.
Right. I mean, like if you're marketing this to younger kids, like that hinge, I've never had a problem with it, and neither have my kids. But I've heard that that is the number one issue with the DS. Right.
My son got mad at mine, like was playing cars or something, and just like rage broke my DS. I was pissed.
And then you rage broke your kid.
It was very tempting.
I don't see. I'm looking at Joystick's description of the system. I don't see anything about motion control, which I think the 3DS has.
There is a what is it? An accelerometer.
Yeah.
In the 3DS, yeah. Which I'm not sure if you'd need without the 3D, because that's where a lot of that accelerometer stuff was used, was when you had the 3D on, because then you could kind of like spin around. And I haven't really played any games that need you to use the tilt functionality or whatever, but
right.
I like the idea that it's cheaper. It's not like I don't use the 3D, so why pay for it? You know.
True.
But I don't like that design at all.
Yeah,
I don't
kind of ugly
design either. I mean, I think it's a very uncomfortable system for me to play.
It's made for. I'll give it this, and I play my 3DS more than I play my Vita, or probably not more than I play like on my iOS stuff. But it is made for people with smaller hands than I.
Yeah.
So, like, playing it for a long period of time, my hands cramp up. Fortunately, the original 3DS battery sucks, so you don't ever play it for a long period of time.
Well, I can tell you, whenever a Pokemon XY comes out, I'm going to be, like, plugged into the wall playing that for hours, so.
Yeah, I will, I'm going to give Pokemon a try again.
Again,
when
was the last one you played?
What was not Black and White? What was the one before? Was it Heart Gold, Soul Silver?
Oh, the remix.
Yeah, I gave that a shot when that came out.
Those were good.
I didn't understand. I was like, this is everything everybody hates about JRPGs.
Yeah, like, a lot of grinding.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's grinding. I mean, it's kind of cool, like catching the ship, but
yeah.
It's like it's. That's all it is. Is like, it's turn-based combat, which is very, very simple, and it's grindy. I didn't quite get it. I'm gonna try and get into this one. Like, I have a feeling it's not gonna catch.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna like it. If you don't like grinding, you're not.
I don't dislike grinding. Way. Like, I mean, that was fine. I just like there's nothing outside of that though. Like, the combat was okay. Like, it was just I just did not.
It's really. Duh, I don't even know if I want to get into it.
No, come on. Tell me why Pokemon
like, the combat is like, really, like, it can be really deep. Like, not necessarily against, like, the people you stumble across in there, but, like, if you play with, like, friends and stuff, like...
It's all about matchups, right? Like, you're trying
right,
to match up.
And I've sunk, like, 700-something hours into Diamond, and a lot of that was, like, breeding the Pokemon and shit like that, and like putting together different teams so that, you know, whenever me and my buddies and I, you know, whenever we'd get together and play, then it was competitive and it was a lot more fun. But, you know, I don't know. It takes a lot of time though. Like, that's a very time consuming. I'm not going to be able to play that way with XY. Like, I'm going to be able to play through the main game and that's about it.
Now, are you getting both versions?
No. I'm probably just gonna rent one of them. I don't even know if I'm gonna buy it because I didn't like Black and White. So I'm kind of nervous myself.
I'm gonna get Y as a cartridge, and I'm gonna retire Animal Crossing at that point. I'm still not sure why I'm playing the hell out of that one. I don't understand Animal Crossing, but it is. I'll give Jeff this. It is strangely addictive. Like,
yeah.
I still go into my stupid town like pull weeds up, and it's so stupid. The game is retarded. It's not even a game. It's like it's everything I hate doing in real life.
It's chores, right? It's chores gamified. That's all it is.
It's chores the game. Like,
but it's rewarding because of the shit you get.
Right, but at this point, I'm not even getting shit. I'm just going around. Every day, I open it up. I run around town. I dig up some fossils. I run them up to the stupid owl. Like, here, and he goes, oh, none of these are there. So I'm like, all right, awesome, because I didn't want you to have any of these fossils anyway. So then I run back down to the selly person, and I'm like, yo, here, buy my fossils. And she's like, I will give you $15,000, or bells, or whatever the hell they are. And then I'm like, cool, take them. And then I shut the thing off and do it again tomorrow. So yeah, I'm just like collecting, like I'm running around digging holes in the ground, asking this guy to tell me what they are, and then selling them to this lady who I don't know what she does with them. She has a ton of fossils at this point, though, because I've been selling them for 2 months. And they're worth a lot because she keeps giving me a lot of money. But yeah, and I keep banking it. Like, I'm upgrading my house, but it's not really decorated. Like, I've seen some people who really decorate their house. If you walk into my house, there's the fire wheel from the Mario games, like in Bowser's Castle. Like, yeah. I have one of them, like, going around on my floor. And then there's, like, an arcade cabinet in the corner and a trophy that I won. And that's it. Like, I haven't gotten into the whole, like, decorate your house stuff.
Oh, man, your feng shui is way off.
Oh, yeah, like, people...
Clearly, why it's why you're grumpy. It's like,
but I just don't get it.
He'd like the game more if he had more furniture, I think.
Yeah. I finally went to the... Like, I've had a club in my town for like, 2 months now. I went to the club today. I'm like, this is dumb. Like, I don't get this game, but for some reason I won't take it out of my 3DS, and I keep booting it up every day.
That's strange.
This game is so stupid.
Nice.
What else we got in news?
Let's see. We didn't really talk about the 3DS price drop, or the Wii U price drop.
No, we didn't.
We kind of just moved on.
I mean, are you guys enticed by a $50 price drop?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it moves it a little closer to the zone where I might think about picking one up, but I'm still... Right. So like, I'm still going to get an iPad before you want this.
What is that zone? Like, what's the magic number Nintendo
See,
has
here's the thing, though. This is old technology now. I'm right. thinking, like, $200. If you don't hit that $200 number, like, I can go out and get an Xbox 360 right now for $200.
And a PS3.
Yeah. Why is this thing, which is in the same zone of technology as those things, $100 more?
Because it's new.
And that's the only reason. It's new and it doesn't have any software out for it. Well, right. Well, fuck that.
There's not really one game out there. Like, at this point, LEGO City Undercover and maybe Zombie U. What are, like, the two big games that I was interested in playing?
I would love to try Pikmin 3, but I'm not spending $300 on a system for one game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I will say that. I mean, I don't think horror is your thing, Tony, but LEGO City was really good. Jeff says Pikmin 3 is really good.
Right.
There's Wind Waker HD. I don't know if you ever played through Wind Waker. That's my favorite 3D Zelda.
Not a Zelda fan.
I'm not really a big Zelda fan outside of A Link to the Past and Wind Waker, so that for me is a new Mario this year.
Right.
Like that. That's
what
the
kind of new Mario is it? Is it a 2D or 2D?
It's a new 3D Mario.
Oh. Okay.
But here's the other thing that I throw in there. I can't play all the games I want to play on the consoles I already have. And I'm going to go out and get another one?
Yeah.
I don't
think
it's going to
happen. That is the hard point. It's like, I said we started the show and I was like, I have a stack of games. And it's like, we haven't even hit that point yet.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
And I already have a stack of games and it's only going to get worse. And it's like, why would you add another thing to add more games onto? It was just a shame because Nintendo makes such really good games.
I haven't really been. a big Nintendo supporter as of lately, but I mean, that's just personal preference. I think what they do is, you know, they do fill that little bit of a, I mean, I say that, but at the same time, like my kids, like they love my PS3. Like, well, I have a Wii sitting right below it, you know, with Mario games on it and stuff like that, but like they play Lego Batman 2 like fucking crazy. Like they play Little Big Planet 2. What else do they play? Disney Universe. You know, there's a bunch of things that my kids play. Like me personally, I like the 2D Mario games, but not enough to buy a system for.
Not a fan of the 3D Mario games?
No, outside of Mario 64, like, I hate the Wiimote and the Nunchuck business with Mario Galaxy.
Galaxy and Galaxy 2 are so good.
And that's what I hear, but, like, I can't get past those controls. I just do not like them. Like, I detest them by this point. So, and that's just my personal opinion.
Do you think that maybe because you're not really into that, that, and like you are more of a PS3 gamer at this point, that's why your kids gravitate towards that?
It could be. It very well could be. Like my son, he has a 3DS. He plays, I have one of the Mario games, the very first like DS 2D Mario game. What was that called?
New Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, that one. He had that. He plays that and stuff. But and he likes Mario. He watches the cartoon and stuff. He's seen it on Netflix. I have one of the box sets. He watches that. He likes Pokemon and stuff. But I don't know. I just think that the controls itself, like, I would much rather like just not play it.
Well, I mean, that was kind of Jeff's big complaint with Pikmin, was that that game was designed to be used with the Wii Remote and Nunchuck, and he wanted to play with the gamepad.
Yeah, and I don't see why, how you can, like, I think the gamepad is, that's supposed to be, like, the default controller, isn't it? Like
for some stuff,
it makes you actually think. Was this supposed to be a Wii game that they just couldn't finish time?
Right.
That game's been in development for 6 years. So
yeah,
it was supposed to be a Wii game.
So,
yeah.
That doesn't make you feel very good about Nintendo's development process, does it?
Oh well, definitely not about that. Not about Pikmin. Like about any other games that aren't, you know, Mario or Zelda.
Right. Which they now pump out so much that you're like, okay, oh, it's another Mario game.
Right.
I saw Phil Kohler complain the other day that he'd been writing, maybe this was like a month or so ago, but he'd been writing for Polygon for a year and he'd already reviewed like 4 Mario games.
Holy shit.
Which, I mean, what did he, I mean, there have been 3 core, I guess if you include New Luigi U.
Right.
That would count as
that might have been the 4th one.
Yeah.
Right there.
So New Super Mario Brothers 2, 3D Land, New Super Mario Brothers U, and New Luigi U. All within like the last 2 years or so.
So that's a lot of Mario games in one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the problem with the New Super Mario Brothers U last year, was that was a far superior game to New Super Mario Brothers 2, but by the time it came out, one, it was on the Wii U, and the other one was that, you know, people were kind of burned out on 2D Mario by that point.
Mario fatigue.
Right, it's like you can only release so much of that throughout the course of a year, like...
Yeah, that, but then we got the yearly games like Call of Duty that get hell all the time from people that play Mario games like crazy. I don't get that, but never mind. but no, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a Nintendo basher, because I know that's how I sound to people, but the control, like being forced to play with that, like, God, I fucking hate that controller. I'll just stop now.
No, but Galaxy is so good, and it controls so good.
That's but why can't I play with the control pad?
But who cares?
The gamepad. Like, I do.
But why?
I don't find that Wiimote nunchuck, I don't find it comfortable to play with, and I think anytime you start adding, like, motion controls into it...
But you don't need to do the motion controls in that game.
Okay, I'm not saying with that game. Like,
No, I understand what you're saying, like, but I'm just saying, like...
They like to tack that on.
Like, there are motions, like, that you can do motion things with, like, I guess, and you do kind of need to, like, to do the spin thing. But outside of that, like... outside of that, like, that game is perfectly controllable with and, like, the camera does so much on its own, and the game is so good. It controls so well. That's why it's so good, because the control is so precise.
Yeah.
You should give that game a shot.
I don't like that controller.
I played most of that game upside down in my chair.
Upside down in your chair?
Yeah, I was, like, kind of, like, laying back. It was just, like, it was just so easy to play. Like, not easy, unless you're Tony, because he beat it in half the time I did, and, like, less than three times the time that it took Jeff, but sorry.
Yeah. I guess I'm just confused on why, like, they couldn't have made it playable with the gamepad. I guess that's just my big thing.
But that's, you couldn't guarantee, like, the gamepad as in, like... The add-on that they have?
Yeah, that little...
But you couldn't guarantee... Like, they made it so that everybody could play it with what was available.
I know, and I realize that. But, like, why couldn't it be an option to play with the Pro Controller?
Because they wanted you to play it as everybody would play it.
Oh, well, sorry.
Also, the Pro Controller wasn't all that good.
I don't know. I stopped playing my Wii after I got my PS3, but that, again, that's just going to point blank. Oh, God, he just hates Nintendo.
Yep, you hate Nintendo. You know it. You see it.
It's true. I just said it, actually. So, yeah, there it is.
Don hates Nintendo.
Yep.
Mark it down.
Ignore the article that goes up the day yesterday, quote-unquote, Thursday.
I'm already ignoring it. Dom, go rewrite it again.
What else we got?
This is more of a clarification than really news, but we talked about Xbox One being delayed in certain regions. Apparently, they delayed it in Belgium, Denmark, Finland, the Netherlands, Norway, Russia, Sweden, and Switzerland. Apparently, that was not due to any sort of supply chain issue, but had more to do with Kinect localization issues. So getting it to work with the particular language in those locations.
Hmm.
Okay.
So apparently having a voice-controlled system... gets really complicated as you move to other countries.
I'm sure.
I guess the PS4 really doesn't have that issue.
No.
it doesn't need to understand Russian.
I mean, like, probably the interface, but it doesn't need to understand it. You're right. Like, the people who play it in Russia need to understand it, because it probably has a Russian interface, but... yeah, you can speak Russian at it all day long. It doesn't understand you at all.
ignoring the obvious Final Fantasy XIV A Realm Reborn launch issues, because, you know, it has issues.
So funny.
They've actually stopped selling it online through their web store because they can't keep up with the amount of people they have on there now. So,
I'm not surprised.
Right. But as I recall, they did the same thing with Guild Wars 2. Like, that's a really common issue for MMOs.
Guild Wars in particular, because that's a buy and play. That's not even a monthly subscription. So, that game overloaded servers really quickly. I heard some weird stuff about this Realm Reborn, though. where it's not, it takes place 5 years after Final Fantasy XIV, the original Final Fantasy XIV.
The game like, that no longer exists.
Yeah, it's not even, like, it's a continuation of that story. It's not even like a, hey, we're just, like, restarting this. Like, they killed it off and wrote a whole new story that takes place 5 years later. It's insane.
It really is a realm reborn.
Right. Everyone was destroyed. It was awful. And now, part two.
I have no desire, like, I really like Final Fantasy, and I would gladly give that game a shot if it was, you know, Guild Wars model, where it's, like, pay to play, like, just pay up front and you're done. But I cannot fathom paying $15 a month to play a game at this point. Which is kind of why, Elder Scrolls is completely off my list right now.
Right. Yeah, when they announced this, was it this week?
Yeah.
That they were doing a subscription fee, they went from, I really want to try that to,
Yeah, I don't have any desire anymore. And here's the thing, we all know that in a year, 6 months to a year, that game is going to be free to play.
Right. All of them end up there.
Yeah.
And it's funny, that someone released a study this week saying that the most updated game world of any MMO of the past year, Guild Wars 2. They don't have a subscription model.
No. yeah, everything is, it's, you buy the box.
You pay that entry fee and you're in.
And then, like, there are
things.
Buy
hats if you want,
yeah,
or whatever.
You can buy, like, hats and gems to buy, like, special equipment or whatever. Like, you could buy cosmetic stuff or, like, even, I guess, real items, but, that game is really well balanced. So, it's not like a pay to win.
Right.
It's just like a, hey, like, you can buy some, you can supplement your in-game currency with real game currency, so you can buy shit that you want if you don't have enough. Which is fine if you are into that, but you don't have to. That game is really good. I didn't play a ton of it. I played about 10 hours, but it's really good, really easy to jump into. And if you have friends that are playing it and you're just starting out, they can come back and help you. And it'll drop them, it gets scales to your level. So they'll be playing with you on a fair level. Like, even if they're level 50, it will scale to your level. And they can't just go through and kill everything. Like, the enemies will be just as hard for them. So, it's really, really smart stuff in that game.
Alright, last thing I got. And poor Jeff is going to cry a little bit. GameStop managers are now going to receive a PS4 and 7 games, and it was leaked today, also an Xbox One. They'll get both consoles.
Wow.
Oh, that's... I wouldn't even tell him that. Like, just don't.
It's good. Well, I mean, there's a chance he listens to this podcast, right? Because he's not on...
Nah.
I think we got to tell him. I might text them right now. Not only will he be angry, he'll get an international text charge.
Right. poor Jeff.
I guess that's good for GameStop managers.
And I think the funniest thing about this is they're doing this because there's no way that their managers would be able to afford the systems on their own.
Right. So, and how can they
sell them if they haven't played
exactly. I totally see. I went to go pick up Madden, and the guy's like, "Hey, I see you got an Xbox One on pre-order. If you pay an extra $5, you can upgrade you right now to the Xbox One version. You just bring this back when the Xbox One comes out. We'll give you the Xbox One version." I'm like, I'm good, thanks. It was so slimy, like.
Right. Well, you know, they forced them to do that.
Right, right, yeah. It's just like, I've seen this guy before. He's normal. Like, it was just like this really slimy sales pitch. Like, I kind of don't like you anymore.
not his fault.
And it's totally not his fault. You're right. So that's it for news.
That's all I got.
I did hear that Microsoft, anybody that was on the Microsoft, full-time employee at Microsoft,
yes,
as of July 21st, is also going to get a limited
white
Xbox One. All first-party games and, what, a year of Xbox Live Gold?
Fuck, I have the wrong job, man.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a pretty cool,
yes, that's a nice bonus there.
Yeah. Oh, well. I was gonna do a top five list, but we're running a little late.
We are. We talked too much.
Yeah, let's do we have any questions?
Do we have any questions? Somebody wants to know. Someone asks a question. Justin asks, why aren't you guys at PAX?
I'm poor.
It's on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to get out to Seattle at some point, go to PAX Prime, but it wasn't going to happen this year.
Yeah, I'm tired. I really don't want to call that way.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I'm gonna try and make Boston.
I would like to be in Boston as well. That would be nice.
So, we're going to try and get a... Fozzie has said that he will stop in Illinois and pick up Jeff. And we got to try and get Don out to Boston as well. So everybody, we'll see. We'll see if that happens. But
that'd be pretty awesome.
We'd like to make that work. So come to Boston, Joshua.
That's right.
I take it he's at PAX, right?
He is. He's at PAX Prime. As are many people that we know, including Fozzie.
He fortunately lives in Seattle, too, though. So.
Right. He doesn't have to travel.
Wow.
That's cheating. They should have PAX in Washington, D.C. That would be nice. If it was in Philadelphia, I'd go, too.
Right. I kind of just, like, there should be other ones outside of just Boston and Seattle.
Right.
Somewhere in Texas would be fantastic, but, you know, that's probably asking for a lot.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in Texas that would appreciate a conference like that, though. Like,
yeah.
There are a lot of people that live in Texas.
There are. I can tell you, that highway's pretty busy on my way to work.
I gotta say, though, actually Seattle is a weird place to have such a large conference.
Like, yeah.
Normally you'd have it like a first-tier city, which Seattle is not. It doesn't have like the...
I think both Boston and Seattle, though. Well, Seattle is the Penny Arcade hometown,
right?
But it's also the home of a lot of game developers, and it's not too far from San Francisco, which is also the home of a lot of game developers,
right?
And the press. So
San Francisco is a first tier city. Yeah, damn it, hold it there. I'd go there.
Yeah. I guess would you consider Boston up there?
Yeah. It is.
But I mean, there's a lot of game developers there. I'm not sure what our, in our particular areas, what the development.
Come on, we got Bethesda down here.
You do have Bethesda down here.
Bring it over here. Bring it home.
We gotta get you into Bethesda at some point.
Oh, we could make that happen.
Because I hate their games so much. Goddamn.
Right. I really like to go down there and talk to them people at some point, but I don't know when I'll get that opportunity. Well,
Bethesda do that Rogue game,
Rogue Warrior.
Yeah,
they did. They published it. They didn't develop it. They also did a Wet.
They still handled it.
Dishonored.
Yeah, I mean their published games are getting better.
Right.
Yeah.
Dishonored was pretty good. Something else that's coming out from them. Sounds like, hey, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Hold on, I'll go look. Because I remember seeing it on Gamefly, and I'm like, what? PS3. But coming soon.
They're doing the Shimi Mikami game. The guy who did Resident Evil. They're doing his horror game. I think that's who it is, Mikami. I can't remember the name of it, though.
Yeah, I'm not finding it.
The Evil Within or something like that. I don't know. It sounds pretty cool, though. So they are getting better.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Did you get any questions, Don?
From your no, the same one he got.
Alrighty. So, Jeff, you need to come back so we can get some questions. We'll be back next week, though, after Labor Day.
Right.
I got a house to myself.
We should have week. Madden and Total War Rome 2.
Does that come out next week?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I will hopefully have played a little bit of Outlast by the time we record, so. Teeny tiny bit and some Rayman Legends. So we'll have new games next week.
Nice.
New game!
And hopefully an update from PAX, from Fozzy.
Right.
Or on PAX from Fozzy. And Jeff should be back from his Caribbean vacation.
Whoa, he's in the Caribbean?
He is. Yes. He got on a plane, which is, you know, shocking.
Yeah.
Wow. Why did he go down there?
His sister's wedding.
Oh, nice.
So he kind of had to go. He was guilted into it, he said.
Yeah. It's hard to get out of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure he's going to drink a lot while he's there. And
he'd drink a lot if he was home.
Right. That's true. So we probably won't have any game related stuff, but Jeff can give us all of his fun exploits that he had at the pool.
And he can tell us what the flight was like, because I really want to hear that story.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff. I love you.
His flight stories are great. He goes into almost panic attack mode.
Turbulence. Oh, my God.
Before he even gets on the plane, he goes into panic attack mode.
Although I don't remember him saying anything about that when we went to PAX.
I remember it was a long, long process in getting him to agree to come to Boston.
Really?
Yeah. Fozzie and I had to hammer away at him for a long, long time. And he said at least this time he has somebody flying with him, so he wasn't flying alone. Like, to Boston, he was by himself. Like,
yeah. That's why I flew to E3.
That can be tough, like, especially if you're not comfortable traveling in that kind of
situation. It was like my second time on an airplane.
God damn it.
And then I just kind of laughed at him the whole time because I drove to Boston. So.
Right.
But,
well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, well, if you can't laugh at your friends, who can you laugh at?
Everybody else.
Miley Cyrus and her dungeon crawler.
Right.
All right, we'll be back next week.
Twerk it for XP.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, at PSane Show and at Critically Sane. Come to the website and comment. Get a chance to win a game. That drawing will be sometime next week. And then we'll have a September contest. So that'll be going up next week, too. Yeah. Come talk to us. Join our Steam group. We're trying to get to 50 still. We're at like 38. We've been stagnated there for a little bit.
Yeah, there's not an easy way to like see what happens in Steam groups without actually going into it.
Yeah, I wish it would just post in like the activity feed if you post it on it, but
yeah.
That's a complaint for Valve.
So I have a hard time checking it very often.
Yeah.
Same with our website. Like, it's hard for me to find, like, I don't get notified when people comment on my shit. So, like, my friend asked me, I was like, oh, did you ever read that comment I left on such and such? And I'm like, no, didn't know you left one. I mean, yeah.
There has to be a way for us to set you up to get comment notifications, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We just have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And Facebook, come like us on Facebook, join in the discussion there. We try and get our stuff up there on a regular basis, but it doesn't always happen. Don needs to change our profile image, or our header image right now.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, too much stuff, man. Yeah.
But, we'll be back next week then.
Awesome.
Say goodbye, Don.
Goodbye, Don. Yeah.